day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. Now for opening remarks and introductions, I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Shazan Chigani. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Danielle, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is IBM WebSphere High Availability Manager Concepts and Problem Determination. If you have not joined the e-meeting, please do so now. The e-meeting URL is available on the WebSphere Technical Exchange site. Today's webcast will include a PowerPoint presentation. Once you're in the e-meeting, you will see the presentation. We recommend that you view the presentation in full screen mode. To do this, go to the View in the Toolbar at the top of your screen and select Make Shared Area Full Screen. If you're unable to access the e-meeting at this time, you can go to any IBM.com site and type in 7010205. Again, that number is 7010205. The document that displays will contain the PDF file for you to access. This call is being recorded, so you can replay it at your convenience. Early next week, the MP3 file along with the presentation will be available on the previous webcast tab of the WebSphere Technical Exchange site. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask to respond to a quick few polling questions. At the end of today's session, the lines will open for a question-answer period. Today's presenter is Rajesh Lodgodar. Rajesh joined WebSphere Level 2 support in December of 2004. He worked extensively on WebSphere System Management and an HAM Manager component. At this time, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Rajesh.
Thank you, Shazan, for the introduction. Good morning and welcome to the technical exchange on the WebSphere High Availability Manager. On page 2, we have the agenda for the today's technical exchange. I will go through some of the key concepts of the WebSphere HA Manager, and also I will provide insight on the tuning guidelines and some of the troubleshooting techniques. At the end of the session, we will have the question and answer session. Now we can move to the slide 3. It is very essential to understand what HA Manager is, the High Availability Manager is, and what services it provides. HA Manager is a new feature introduced in WebSphere 6.0. Basically, HA Manager is a framework that enables the WebSphere components to make its services highly available. It's very important to note that the HA Manager does not do any failover by itself. Rather, it provides a framework that can be used by the WebSphere components to make its services highly available. So what are the advantages of HA Manager? Services can be made available and run on servers, some of the available servers instead of dedicated servers. And also it enables automatic failover versus manual failover of previous 5.0 and 5.1 releases. And also HA Manager uses policies that can determine how the failover occurs. It will influence the failover behavior, and it can check where the service can be made available and where can I make any service run on a preferred server where I know I want to run a particular service on a preferred server. And these policies can be configured, and whenever you configure, these changes are dynamically changed. So the advantage of HA Manager framework overall will eliminate the single point failures which are there in previous releases that are eliminated by this feature. Slide 4. To further understand the HA Manager framework, I will discuss some of the key concepts of the HA Manager, namely, what is a core group, what is HA groups and policies, what is a partition managed group or a core group bridge, and also some of services inside the HA Manager like bulletin board service and the agent framework. The bulletin board and agent framework are internally used by the WebSphere components, and these are available when automatically when the HA services are configured for these components. To further understand, I will go through the core group and HA group in detail and mention about the bulletin board service and agent framework. So correctly, what are the users of HA manager functions? The messaging engine failover and the EJB WLM routing, the data replication service and the transaction log recovery are the current HA enabled functions in under the WebSphere network deployment. So the HA functions are the various HA functions are used by these components, like messaging engine will use the HA group, WLM routing, that's the EJB WLM routing will use the bulletin board service, DRS will use the agent framework, and transaction log recovery again uses the HA group policies. So going to page 5. So one of the key concepts...
Before going to the next chart, if you cannot join the e-meeting, you can still access our presentation by going to ibm.com and typing 7010205 in the search box found at the very top of the page. A technical document with a PDF will display. I will now turn the call over to Rajesh.
Going to the slide 5, one of the key concepts of the HA manager is the core group. The concept of core group is it is the subset of the cell members where they can establish connection between themselves and have a relationship among themselves, and they are ready to participate in the highly available functionality. So it's a proper subset of cell, typically so it has the same scope of the cell. And when you create out of the box, a default core group is provided, and all the servers that are created, including the node agent and D manager, they'll all be part of this default core group. And some of the configuration are available in the core group XML. And whenever you add a new process, a core group will be that process will be added to the core group. And if you delete that process or the member, then that member is removed from the core group. Further, you can have multiple core groups for the reason of scaling and firewall reasons, and we will go through the configuration later. I just want to like to mention that the default core group is defined out of the box, and that is the default that is given to all the members. And further, you can choose to move the members into the different core groups. Slide 6. So here we'll see at what are the key requirements of core group. One of the key requirements of the core group is when you have a cluster of like the EJB WLM cluster, where you have an EJB deployed on the cluster, all the cluster members have to be on the same core group. So in other words, the cluster members cannot span across the core groups. And also, other requirement is each core group must have at least one admin process, namely like node agent or the D manager. It is preferred to have the D manager on the default core group. And when you create multiple core groups, you can have the node agent move to the next core group you created. You can manage the core groups and create the core groups using the WSAdmin task, which will provide an easier way to scripting and manage the core groups. And whenever you create multiple core groups, it's essential to create core group bridges to connect the core groups, and so that the state of the core groups are exchanged between the core groups. Slide 7. Core group is basically the basic layer where, you know, the servers are established, the connections between themselves. But still, it would not provide the functionality of high availability by itself. So further, we need to have the HA groups, which will be the subset of the members where they will participate in the high availability functions. An HA group provides a mechanism for building highly available component and enables the component to run in one of the several different processes of this HA group. What it means is, when you create, for an example, when you have a cluster and you have a messaging service, an HA group is created for that messaging service, and then this messaging service can come upon one of these member of this HA group as a singleton service. So then the HA group members will know each other where the service is currently running, whether it's running on a preferred server, and then if that server goes down, that particular service automatically moves into one of these member of the HA group. So this is a further abstraction layer under the core group. So one of the requirements of the HA group, dynamically it comes up when the singleton service comes up, and it forms the HA group dynamically, uses a name for its own group, and it maintains its own network connectivity among themselves. And also, it would spin a service HA group member it will spin only one instance on a member, and members can be there on different nodes and different processes. And it's important to understand that the HA groups have a distinct life cycle. That means to say, whenever the HA service comes up, the member will have a life cycle, and then the service will probably go into a joint state, starting state, and started state based on the policies, and the policies will determine where the service will come up eventually, and how it will fail over based on the policy. Page 8. Here we'll discuss some things about the HA policy. So when the singleton service comes up, it will come up based on the HA policy. So HA policy determines how the failover will occur, and to begin with, where the service instance will start, whether it will start off one of the member or multiple of the members, or whether it is static, or I don't have to do anything with any. So I don't have to immediately start any of the singleton service. That's the no-op policy. And also, it can determine whenever it fails. So does it have to fail on other preferred server or any other? If it is not defined, any other preferred servers, it will come up of any of the HA members. And also, the policy can determine when the failed server comes back, whether to fall back on to the failed server or not. So failover characteristics are determined by the HA policy. So to To sum up all the things together, the HA manager, the key thing to understand is it is a framework that provides the WebSphere components, namely messaging engines, DRS, EJB workload management, and the transaction log recovery. And HA manager by itself does not provide the high availability, and it allows these components to use its framework and provide the high availability functionality. And regarding the bulletin board service and the agent framework, they are internally used by the DRS and WLM component, and you may not have to bother much about the function, how internally it works. Rather, you need to understand that in a stable condition of the HA manager, these would work normally, and they would be using the HA features. Page 9. So under the normal circumstances, HA manager will have at any point of time all the members have established connection and relationship between itself. So now it creates a challenge when, you know, there is a large scale environment, say 200, 300 servers or more than that. So due to the nature of HA manager established connectivity, you may have to tune the HA manager so that it would make the HA manager functionality correct in a stable way and allow the members to do the failover properly in a right fashion. So we have a tuning document made available on the support site, and I have provided the link in this slide. This slide will show how to configure a dedicated thread pool for the DCS, which is a underlying transport of the HA manager. DCS stands for Distributed Consistency Services, which is the key transport under the HA manager. This has to be done on a 602 version release. This was identified in between the 602 release, and there was a configuration change made, but still, since the profiles are already created in 602X, so this feature will be available only for the new profile created. For existing profile, you still have to configure dedicated thread pool. The reason why we do this is when WebSphere core group and HA manager thread pools were created, it used the default thread pool, which could have shared which thread pool can be shared among other components. And if there was a lack of resource in terms of threads, it would show abnormal behavior and terminate the connectivity in between. Without having any network issues, you would see network connection closed messages simply because there were not enough thread pool. So it is very essential in a large scale environment to create a dedicated thread pool. Later, we have to tune the HA manager transport memory size. By default, we provide around 50 megabytes of transport memory, and certain conditions like where the data replication service, namely DRS, is enabled for DynaCache or session persistence, you have to tune these transport memory buffer sizes so that it can efficiently transfer the data across the HA groups or the DRS instances. And also, the HA manager has a view created, and this is a view is basically the established connections available among the servers. So collectively they form a view, and the view is distributed among the servers, and they, by the view, they will know which servers are available and which servers are not available, so that it can fail over to the available members. So this view is created and coordinated by a what you call as a HA manager coordinator. This normally comes up dynamically on any given server, and you cannot really control where it comes. So we have a configuration where you can make a core group coordinator comes on a preferred coordinator, on a preferred member. We recommend this coordinator be a D manager or a node agent, since because if the coordinator comes off an app server which does business logic and tend to go very high on the CPU and memory, and it can affect the HA manager functionality. So for that reason, we would recommend to bring up the HA manager coordinator on a preferred server, namely D manager or node agent. Also, these links will give the information center, the info center link for the core group scaling consideration. One of the key consideration for the core group is, due to the scaling requirement, we recommend somewhere around 50 servers to be part of the core group. So if you have more servers, we would recommend to split them into multiple core groups, and whenever you split these, the existing configuration into multiple core groups, make sure that you follow the core group requirements, namely the core group members, all the cluster members have to be in the same core group, and you have to have a node agent for the core group. So to whenever you configure this kind in highly scaled environment, you make sure that out of the box things may not work in a proper fashion, then you have to have a HA manager tuned based on your requirement. Page 10. Now we will go into the troubleshooting of the HA manager. After you have tuned the HA manager as described in the previous slide, you would probably have minimized the majority of the issues we have seen so far in the 602X release. And even if you have configured in a tuned environment, still you may have some issues with the HA manager. What I am planning to do is, in the troubleshooting area, based on the major concerns currently we have the HA when HA manager is enabled in the scalable, highly scaled environment, I will list some of the major concerns, and through that we can learn more about how to troubleshoot in general. So one of the major concern of the HA manager when it is enabled was that there is a CWRLS003W message continuously logged when a server is started, and the server would not start and it would fail to open for e-business. We have provided a technical document on the support site, and I have listed the link here to further understand. I will go through some of the key important things in that link. So in WebSphere application 6.0 and higher, the transaction manager, whenever it comes up, it has a key requirement that the HA manager has to assign the ownership of the transaction log file. The HA manager component will have the log to the transaction log file, and it has to relieve the log to the transaction manager so that it can recover any failed transaction in the before run and further continue and start for e-business. So if you have any issues running currently under HA manager to complete its view and it's in an unstable state, it would not give the log to the transaction log, and the transaction manager would log this message and continuously wait for the HA manager to assign the ownership of the transaction log. So what is the key requirement for the HA manager to give up the log is it should have the stable view, as I already described, it's basically a collection of servers which are available, and then this will be distributed among the servers. So what we have seen in majority cases, network connectivity issues in underlying transport layers have caused this unstable view. Page 11. So one of the key to the solution for this problem is identify the connectivity issue that are causing the view change failures. If you take a look at the activity of the system out log, you would see DCS messages normally. To troubleshoot any HA manager issue, we recommend to look at the system out log, and in majority of the problems, system out logs will give the state of the HA manager, and it gives a good insight on the current state of the HA manager. So from the system out log, you can essentially identify who is the current underlying DCS leader so that you can quickly go into that system out log of that leader and look at the current activity of the view changes that are happening that may be causing further problems where a server will not start. So the sequence is you have 20, 30 servers running, and you are trying to start the 31st member and it is failing to start. So when this situation happens, what you can do is go to the existing any member and look for a DCS 8050 message. I have given an example in the slide how a message looks like. So in this message, you will see something called identifier. So identifier shows that this is the current DCS leader and this is the version of the view, and what is the current size, how many servers are available, how many are connected, and how many are defined. So AV means how many active members are currently in the view, and CN and is how many are there established. Normally you should have AV and CN and CD all same. That would indicate a very stable steady state. And if you see these messages coming continuously, then that means to say a new view is continuously trying to establish and you have an unstable view. page 12. So, to understand what a view change is, we will look at a typical view change when it happens, and that would indicate then it will be easy to understand what happens in a unstable condition. So whenever there is a connection established due to a server is started, in this case a node agent was started and D-manager makes a connection to the to that node agent. And due to this node agent is joined, is connected, then the D manager in this case, which is a DCS leader, is trying to kick off a view change. And then you would see a message with HMGR206I to tell whether it is the current coordinator or who is the current, then basically this message will come up if the view changing leader is, whether it's a current coordinator or not. And then whenever this view is established correctly, see, the important thing to understand that the DCS leader, in this case D manager, negotiates with other servers which are running in the view and ask whether the node agent which is newly connected to this member can be joined into the view. If somebody says I don't agree, then the view change is reverted back and the old view is restored. This is when the problem occurs. When a new member is started and it is trying to join, and the coordinator is trying to adjust this member into the view, and some members are trying to say that I cannot connect to this member or some other issues going on, and they say that I cannot make this new member join into the view, then the D manager will reject this member to join into the view. Since this member is trying, the newly started member is trying to join again and again, this view change messages will be continuously coming into every JVM. That's when you have to notice that the view, the HA manager is really unstable, and if you try to start a new server, it is bound to fail at this message where it is locked, waiting for the where the transaction manager is waiting for the transaction log, and it wouldn't start. Slide 13. So under this unstable view condition, you have to check the system out log before you start the server. It's a good idea to start looking at the system out log, whether we have any unstable condition currently running, to basically take a look at the DCSV 8050 messages or the 8030 in some JVMs are continuously coming or not. So if in case you have not checked and you try to start a particular JVM and you get into this condition, then quickly go into a system out log and see if the DCS 8050 are continuously coming up. And some JVMs may throw DCSV 8030 message, where these are the servers where currently they have a problem to adjust the new member into the view. So this message will show why I am failing to join with this new member. I have a problem with my current view. I have some of the connected servers and I have some of the connections missing. So the tech part I mentioned before basically outlines how to identify these JVMs that have connectivity issues. So if you follow the procedure, quickly you will be able to identify all the JVMs that are having this kind of problems where they have trouble to accommodate the new member into the view, and the coordinator is not able to join to the view. So you have to look for DCSV 8015 message, which is if it is coming continuously, then it is an indication of a trouble in the HA manager, and the tech notes shows how to identify the DCS 8030 messages and use these DCS 8030 messages to basically collect all the JVMs that are having this problem. At any given time, we expect only 2 to 3 members may be having problems, and if you identify 2-3 members, even if there are 30-40 members running well, it would take only 1 or 2 JVMs under this condition where it cannot accommodate, then it would bring down the HA manager. So it is some of the connectivity issues based on these 8030 messages have been resolved in the recent releases of the HA manager, and we are trying to resolve any unknown problems that may be occurring under the very deep in the transport, like the TCP channel or even the operating system layer. We are trying to see, since the HA manager is a very network sensitive component, any trouble under the transport layer, not to, you know, since it's a HA manager have connections or, you know, established among 50 servers, by itself will not cause any problems. There could be any network issues very deep in the underlying layer, which may cause trouble in 1 or 2, you know, servers that eventually cause a new member fail to start. So to recover from this unstable view, quickly identify which of these 2-3 members have problems and restart them, those JVMs, so that and when you trying to restart the member again, so then you inspect the system out log to check, you know, DCS is in stable view and it's able to merge the new member into the main view, so that, you know, you can recycle the new member correctly into the view. Slide 14. So there is another event that can happen under the large scale environment. What we call this event is as a network partition. Network partition happens unexpectedly in a broken network connections happens, and then suppose there are 10 nodes and suddenly there is a network issue on one of the nodes. What it does is, since it's not able to communicate to the other members, and it identifies that probably there is a network condition going on which I'm not able to communicate to the other members, suddenly what it does is it creates a private U by itself and would not join into the main view. And what this would cause is one of the, it could have effect on the messaging engine or DRS instances will not be able to communicate, basically which are running on this node where it has a network issues, may not be able to communicate to the other members, and it would act as its own a private HA group or a DRS domain by itself. This node will not be able to communicate with the other members. And whenever this network issue goes away, it will resolve and merge back the private view into the main view. Under this condition, make sure you have the proper connectivity among the nodes and they are able to do proper lookup. In some private networks, you may not use the DNS lookups and you may use the etc/host to do lookup among each other. Make sure the host entries are correct. And we have recently seen in a Windows environment where you have a loopback adapter configured, and this may cause the network partition, and we recommend to use dotted IP address as host name for the DCS unicast address endpoints. So this would reflect, these changes would reflect in the server index XML of the node. Slide 15. Other concern normally clients have with the HCI manager is, I see this CPU starvation message coming in the system out log. I really don't understand what this is. Is it a problem or is it what I'm supposed to do on this message? So we have a technical note on this message. Basically, this message indicates that there is a problem for the HA manager to schedule its work so that it can maintain the established view. HA manager continuously maintains the state by virtue of having threads that are maintaining heartbeat and, you know, and also discovery, doing a discovery of app servers. And these threads would require regular scheduled on a regular scheduled basis. If there is a resource problem in your machine, what it does is it delays the scheduled threads to some time so that it would not show as a failure. Rather, it would schedule it at a later time and whenever hoping that the resource may come back and it can schedule the thread properly so that it can continue, rather than, you know, it schedules a thread and a failure is detected. Rather to take that action, if it knows that there are some resource constraints, it would try to schedule at a later time. This is where it would put the message that the HA manager, it has detected some CPU starvation. That means I don't have enough CPU cycles so that I can spin a thread to continue the HA manager work. I would schedule, I would delay for a particular time period. So under this condition, what are the normal causes that can eventually cause this message to come up? If you have physical memory overcommitted and if the paging is occurring, these messages would come up. And also, if you have the small heap size and if you are trying to garbage collect continuously, and then and you would run out of CPU cycles, then these messages also come up. And also, if there are less number of threads running, there are too many threads running, like the web container threads and R threads and many other threads, and they themselves need a lot of CPU cycles, then it would have negative effect on the HA manager. So one of the other things to look at is what are the current running threads in the system which may be CPU bound. So whenever you see this message, it is a common misconception is HA manager itself is causing the CPU utilization. Rather, I would say it is indicating a condition where there is a lack of resources there, and it is trying to say that I have detected a CPU starvation and I am going to schedule this thread on a delayed schedule. Page 16. So if this HMGR 152W, which is a warning message that CPU starvation is occurring, if this runs for a longer period, this may eventually lead to the instability if it is not corrected, because since it is the HA manager is not able to make established connection, then it would go into the unstable view, which will eventually cause other members not to start. So it is essential to clear up this message and take a look at the your overall system activity. So if this message comes in less than for 20 seconds, it schedules for less than 20 seconds and comes back, and if it comes back, if the messages are displayed for one or two times and then it goes away, then it is okay. But if it continues for a longer period, then it should be taken seriously and take a look at the your overall system activity and paging space and the thread activities and the CPU usage utility, and make sure you have enough resources to for the HA manager to schedule the threads. And going to the slide 17. Slide 17 shows what are the additional product resources are available to understand more about the HA manager. And this chart includes the link for number of sites that provides valuable online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The events link on the slide on the support pages points to the webcast and conference information. Please visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up and learning quickly. The ESR tool is for the Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And my support link on all product pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates and products that are in interest of you. Slide 18. And this concludes the technical exchange for the HA manager, and I will open up for the question and answer session.
If you'd like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, please ensure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. And we'll hear from Herman Hubler with IBM.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi.
First of all, thanks for the presentation. I have two questions in this area. First of all, I've seen recently in several customer situations that hanging or misbehaving server was the culprit for not being able to start other servers which are starting up. Is there a way or a best practice how to detect these servers?
As I said before, we have the technical document on this CWRLS message, and that technical note will give a good outline on how to identify that message As I said before, DCSV 8030 messages and the DCS 8050 messages, use those messages and identify the list of servers that are creating this problem. And there is no short way, but even though if there are two or three servers that are that may be causing, but you may have to look at the some of the important system out file, some of the system out files to make a list of these servers. Normally we have seen one or two servers causing this problem. To begin with, you can start with the DCS leader. You can find the DCS leader as an identifier in the DCS V8050 message, and then go to the system out that log. That would eventually show what are the current DCS activity, and it would give a very good starting point where you can identify and suspect some of the members which can have the problems, and it would also have the DCSV 8030 message so that you quickly get the list of servers. And from there, look for any other servers that have the DCSV 8030 message.
Well, I see, but it is quite cumbersome in large cells, so there is no short way.
Unfortunately, there is no short way, but, you know, if you go to the, if you see the DCSV 8050 message and go to the view identifier, and see, look for the view identifier and go to that system out log, and you would get, at least you would be making very fast ahead in identifying those servers.
Yeah, well, okay, I got the message, but you understand. If the core group has 40 or 50 members, checking 40 or 50 system out logs takes a while. But anyhow, second question was here about, is there any quorum support in the core groups, especially to avoid any network partitioning in some sort of disaster recovery installations? You know, for example, if the connection to one data center breaks, there's the potential of a network partitioning, so probably you would suddenly end up with running two messaging engines in one cell.
Yes.
Just because each messaging engine thinks the other is gone. So is there any sort of quorum support, or what's the best way to use high availability manager in a disaster recovery scenario?
Since the network problem cannot be controlled by the HA manager, so whenever you have this network problem, and then, you know, then the HA manager will have network partition, and each, suppose if there are two cluster members on two nodes, and one of the nodes is out of the network, and the messaging engine will try to come up on each, since it's a private view, now it has a requirement that at least one member has to be up with the service, so it will try to start. But the messaging engine by itself has a locking mechanism on the data store, so it would allow only one messaging engine to come up at any point of time.
You're right. Probably messaging engine is not the perfect example because the messaging engine has its own
mechanism to make sure it is coming up. Only single instance service is coming up. I would expect a problem with the DRS instance, and as I said before, if the network partition event happens, it is important to make sure you identify that and make sure you have network connectivity, proper network connectivity.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, in disaster recovery scenarios, you might easily run into this partitioning problem.
Yes, mainly messaging engines will try to spin new members, but, you know, by messaging engines have its own mechanism to control that. And normally we have seen problems with the DRS instances. Not able to replicate the messages correctly.
All right. Thank you.
We'll hear next from Laura Gazzelli with the University of Florida.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
My question is, one of the points you mentioned was that maybe you need to fine-tune the JVM for the servers. My question is, are there guidelines for fine-tuning the D manager and the node agent?
Under HA manager, when you do a preferred coordinator as D manager or node agent, so it would normally require more heap size more heap size basically to accommodate this work. So normally by default, I believe it is 256 megabytes of the memory heap is allocated. So we would recommend to increase it to 512 so that it would handle the HA manager traffic also accordingly.
That's for 32 bits.
Yeah.
Okay, so 64 would be double that?
It would not scale up immediately. This is just to make sure it works in a proper way and there is no GC activity going on. But I would not characterize as a linear increase, but somewhere around 512 we should be okay, and in a 64-bit you may have to increase to 1.5 times. Normally under a node under base ND you would not need to make too many changes into the node agent to handle the HA manager activity. The only thing is in an high scalable there is only more network connections, and if you partition them into multiple core groups, these will be very well handled with the default settings, and you may wish to increase the heap size just to make sure not much GC activity going on. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
And the next question will come from John McDonald with IBM.
Hi, Rajesh. This is John here. I understand from what you said and what we read, 50 servers is a kind of guideline.
Yeah.
We've actually run into issues with a lot less than that, like 20, 25, and so forth. And I'm wondering if the level of the fixed pack that we're running might have something to do with that. I mean, we're on fixed pack 15, and we know that this fixes in 17 and 19 and so forth.
Yeah. Based on your network activity or the network configuration, there may be some issues, and also platform and other, and also how your app servers are doing also might affect the HA manager. In other words, if you have portal servers and there are, by portal server, when it comes up, it has 50 dynamic cache instances, and if you configure dynamic cache, there will be a huge activity of the DRS instances, and probably that is when you probably want to lower this number to the, say, 20 members or 30 members.
Yeah, actually, we don't have portal or really anything other than standard like WebSphere app service. So.
Yeah, I mean, probably you may have checked the amount of requests using the HA manager activity, namely DRS or the EJB workload management requests.
Okay. One last question, I guess, on the question of fixed packs. We have learned that there were some issues in previous fixed pack releases.
Yeah.
I mean, is that all taken care of in the latest releases and so forth?
Yes. I mean, you have to be. It's always recommended to be on the highest fixed pack level and say 602.19. And if there are any issues, we normally handle with the flashes and make sure we have addressed those fixes.
Okay. I believe fixed pack 21 just came out. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And did that have any issues regarding HA manager or?
At this point, I'm not aware of any other issues.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Rajesh.
And just a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press *1 at this time. We'll hear next from Joe Matthew with Discover Financial Services.
One question regarding the thread pool configuration for DCS. Is that applicable for WebSphere 6.1 also? Do we need to create a separate thread pool, or is it?
No, I mean, we have identified that issue, and that has been resolved in 6.1. So it is basically we have seen the issues in the 6.0 release.
Okay. My second question is, if I have only a web application with the EJB deployed on the same app server instance, part of the same EAR file deployed on the same app server instance, is it safe to disable the HA manager, or do I compromise some functionality in that case if I disable HA manager?
EJB WLM by itself will not come into picture if you install on a single app server.
Right.
Normally, we don't recommend to disable the HA manager because currently we have some of the features like DRS and EJB WLM and the messaging engines. But in future, there may be other components that may, which currently may not be using the HA manager. But since what I mean to say is, in future, if we enable those functions into the HA manager activity, then you may have to reconfigure, and you may be limited with the other services.
Right,
we recommend not to disable.
I think there was an earlier recommendation from IBM to disable the HA manager if it is not required, if the application is not taking care of any data replication services or a messaging engine in that, like our case, you're not using the memory-to-memory replication or messaging engine.
With the help of support and deeper understanding of your environment, then it is okay to disable. But normally, it's in a best practice, we don't recommend to disable. But under a situation like yours, we may, based on looking further into environment, we may recommend to disable it.
Okay, that's all my questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Next, we'll hear from Devand Jamasetti with Mastec.
Hi, Rajesh. Actually, I think regarding the previous question, IBM requires to create a different group so that those who wants to participate in a high availability environment, okay, they'll be in one group, and those who wants to disable it, okay, create a new group, and put them in a different core group, and then disable the HA. I think that's what they recommended.
Yes. Sorry, I didn't mention that. As Devon said, one of the easier way to separate out the issues is to, if you know that these are the servers, single app servers, which may not be participating in any cluster activity, they are standalone and they are running some applications on their own and may not be communicating with any other EJB or anything like that, then probably you can move them into a separate group where you can disable the HA manager and then you would be avoiding the server-to-server communication through HA manager and have the HA required servers on a particular core group. Thanks, Devon.
No problem, Rich. Thanks.
And next we have a follow-up question from Herman Hubler with IBM.
Hello, thank you. Thanks a lot for asking again. I have one last question regarding quadro breaching.
Okay.
Under which circumstances it's really required to breach quadros, and when it's not required?
We recommend to breach when there is an EJB WLM, when there is an EJB application on one core group needs to communicate to the under the lookup on another EJB or any other service on a different core group, then it would require to exchange the state between them. Then you would require a core group breach.
So whenever one transaction crosses a core group boundary, can you say like this?
Whenever an application is trying to communicate with the server outside the core group, then it is required. It would not have the information since it is out of the core group. The core group bridge will exchange the data between the core groups through bulletin board so that it is aware of the servers outside of the core group.
Okay, but basically if I do the lookup in the GNDI lookup, this is done via the node agent, right?
Yeah, the node agent by itself will not have will not have information of the other core group members. So in the two bridges, it will exchange the data and make sure it knows the other cluster.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we have another follow-up question from Joe Matthew with Discover Financial Services.
Hi. One question regarding to Herman's. It's kind of related to the Herman's question.
Yeah, sure.
If the client is an RMI client, it's a Java application.
Mm-hmm.
So how does the core group come into play there?
Java client or any other client normally don't have any container services and all these things.
Right.
And but it would need the information that is the client would need what are the servers and when it does a lookup and gets an object reference and then the WLM decides that okay this is an WLML object, then it would get the information of all other servers through through the ARB and as well as the bulletin board. So that's where the picture, the bulletin, the HA manager comes from.
Right.
So to form the list of servers to the client, it would need the HA manager service.
So how different is that coming from the client being on another WebSphere runtime?
It's the same. The client would get the same way, say servlet would get the same way a Java client would get the information about servlet.
Do you really need a core group bridge between those two in that case?
No, I mean you would look up to the server way to the server. What I mean to say is, you do a lookup to a server where you know the endpoint already are.
Right.
Right. So there is no bridge between a client and this server. But if that server tries to communicate with another server that is outside of the core group, then that requires a core group bridge. But the client by itself, where it is communicating to the starting point, EJB,
okay.
So it may not require any. But in other words, if all your EJBs are in the same core group, then there is no requirement of a core group bridge.
And HTTP, my other question, the HTTP plugin failover, it has nothing to do with the HA manager, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You can send me a mail if you require to address these issues, questions. And I will give floor to Sarani to continue.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. We have another follow-up question from Herman Hubler with IBM.
Hi, excuse me for coming back to you once more. Is my understanding here correct that the node agent only knows about the state of this cluster for the core group to which it belongs?
Node agent normally has the IOR, it acts as an LSD, and also it forms an LSD cluster, and it knows about the cluster members.
Yeah, but only of its own core group or also of the other core groups in the cell?
No, unless you make a bridge, it won't know about the other core groups.
So if I don't have a bridge to node agent, or the LSD in the node agent only knows about the state of the cluster in its own core group?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And with no further questions, I'd like to turn the call back to our presenters for any additional or closing remarks.
At this time, we'd like to conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Rajesh, for presenting today.
Thank you, Sarah.